Pingo.
Welcome to PingoCast, the official podcast of Pingo, the easiest way to dial the world. In this episode, we bring you our interview with John Kenny, founder of AboutCallingCards.com. Welcome to PingoCast, John.
My pleasure. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, now let's get started by giving our listeners a little bit of background about your project, AboutCallingCards.com. What was the motivation behind starting AboutCallingCards.com? Did you have experience in the telecommunications field prior to this? Or?
Well, actually, I've worked in telecommunications for many years, not specifically calling cards and not specifically creating websites for people about calling cards, but there was some background there that made it a good fit for me to do professionally. So we started the site a couple of years ago with the goal of helping people understand calling cards a bit more easily than they may be able to do today.
But, you know, I didn't realize how complicated calling cards are. You know, I've used them in the past, but I wasn't a smart user by any means. I would just grab one that I saw when I needed one, and I didn't shop, and I wasn't aware of the scams out there. I got lucky, I guess you could say, just by picking the right one. But About Calling Cards covers all the different nuances and shopping for a card. Also, you review all the various cards out there. I mean, was that the goal too, to present?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to create a fairly comprehensive information resource for consumers. And like you, I've had experience with calling cards over the years, and sometimes they work out well, and sometimes they don't. But it's an unbelievably complicated market. Cards have very complicated pricing. There's a lot of marketing sort of tricks that companies use to try to promote their cards, and it's very easy for people to get scammed or just simply not to get a great deal, even if they're not, you know, really technically being ripped off. They just don't, you know, get a good deal. So, you know, we try to do things like explain the pricing, all the different pricing elements that come into it, how to kind of add them all up and really understand what your true price is going to be as opposed to what the advertised price is. Give you resources to go to if you have problems, where to file complaints and things like that. And then, as you mentioned, we do a lot of reviews of calling cards that are out there and try to make recommendations to people about the ones that we think are the best.
Well, we're very proud that we got a very positive review at AboutCallingCards.com.
Yes, we did.
And we thank you for that, though I know you do everything on the up and up and fairly and justly. We're just very proud that we got a good review from your site, and thank you for that. Let me ask you, now you said you've started this site 2 years ago.
Yeah, not quite 2 years, but coming up on it, actually.
Now, how much has the demand for calling cards changed in the past, let's say, decade, as a result of some of the voice over IP type services that have emerged in recent years? Are the calling cards still highly utilized?
You know, that's a good question. I wish I had real market data to kind of give you a more precise answer. And so the best answer I can give you is really more impressionistic based on being in the business for a while. And I guess I would say, what would I say? I guess I'd say two things. One is that I think calling cards per se is probably not a market that's growing super fast. I think that the total minutes in the market is growing fairly fast, but the number, because prices are declining, per minute prices are declining, I'm not sure that companies in the business are actually, you know, growing revenue-wise. But I think also you mentioned voice over IP, and I think that there's a little bit of an artificial breakdown of the market where, you know, some people market themselves as voice over IP providers and some people market themselves as calling card providers. And in fact, a lot of calling cards are delivered by voice over IP technology. And so it's a bit of an artificial thing. And to some extent, I would lump them all together, and they're just different ways of buying calling services, voice calling services from third parties, meaning companies that aren't your primary provider, you know.
Right, right.
your local telephone company or what have you.
Interesting.
And in that sense, I'd say the market is definitely growing when you lump both of those types of voice services together. I would say the market is definitely growing. There's a lot more people who use these third-party type providers than was the case 10 years ago.
Now, the term calling cards itself, I know a lot of the calling cards have gone to a, I don't know what the proper term is. You would have a better idea, but there's not really a card involved. There's not a physical card involved anymore. You sign up for an account online. You can sign up for the credits you want and then apply them accordingly. But it's all digital. It's all done without the actual presence of a physical card. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, very much so. I mean, there are physical cards. If you buy at retail stores, you can certainly get a physical card. But most of I guess what we focus on anyway is really the online market where you buy a quote card online, and what you're getting is really an authorization number, an account number that you've paid a certain amount of money against, and you're allowed to use that account until you run out of money or recharge it and continue using it. But in some years back, the calling card was actually necessarily a physical thing. Nowadays, it isn't necessarily a physical thing.
In your experience, do you find much more business in that field online now than the physical cards being purchased at the retail outlets?
I'm not super qualified to talk about the retail side of it. Certainly, I think as a proportion, I think the online market is growing much faster than the retail market. And I think that partly as well, not only because of just the sense of the market, but also because I think a lot more people are using calling cards over mobile phones, and mobile phones kind of lend themselves to calling card specialized applications that you can use on those phones that make it easier and sort of encode the information that you get from a card directly onto your phone.
Quite like Pingo's Easy Dial.
Exactly, quite like Pingo's Easy Dial. I mean, that's a really good example of the kind of application that's coming forward, and Pingo, I think, has a really strong offering in that space as compared to a lot of companies which still don't even offer that.
Well, good for us. Hey, again, one of the areas I had talked to you prior to the interview that I really wanted to get into, because it's you're a far better expert at some of these things than I am. I did an episode early on in the Pingo Cast about how to avoid fraud and how to protect yourself when buying a card. I was wondering, John, if you couldn't share a couple of tips with us about our listeners can look out for when they're buying into the different various calling cards.
Yeah, this is a very serious problem. There's a lot of fraud in the calling card industry. There's a lot of companies that get sanctioned, and you can learn about some of those companies by visiting our site. There's also a fairly long list of tips there, but maybe I'll just recap a few of the things that I think are pretty important. One is the idea of buying what we call clean calling cards, and by that I mean cards that don't have very many extra fees. So when you see the per minute advertised rate, which is normally what companies promote, that's essentially the only fee that you pay. You don't have carrier service fees, you don't have connection fees, you don't have termination fees, because all those things jack your price up significantly, and in many cases they can increase your actual sort of true cost by 5, 6, 7, 8 times.
Yeah.
So the advertised per minute rate can be just like a totally bogus metric. So that's one thing, buy clean calling cards. Another is to, and it's sort of related to that, is to buy cards that have what are called, that have billing increments, which is a way that the cards measure how to bill you, that are 1 minute long or 3 minutes long. Sometimes companies try to sell cards that have 1 second increments or 6 second increments, and that sounds like a good thing, except they usually charge you more for that. And it almost never pans out financially that it's a better deal, even though the metering is more accurate, the net cost to you is almost always higher. Another thing is to buy from what we call integrated providers, which are companies that both sell and deliver the voice calls on your calling cards. So that's the difference between a reseller, which sells cards on behalf of other companies, and carriers like a Pingo, and again, to mention them, which is a company that actually has and operates a voice network that allows calls to be completed. So that's a few things. There's some others as well.
I guess one of the things I meet people on a daily basis or encounter people via the internet itself who aren't using the tools at their disposal, and they're right there in front of the internet, and they don't even realize there's great sites like aboutcallingcards.com that can take a lot of this guesswork out of it for you.
Yeah, no question. I agree with you.
Now, what are the plans, near future plans for aboutcallingcards.com? Anything you can share with us about the vision of the project or the future of the project?
Well, let's see. We're going to be adding reviews for more companies. We've got about 6 or 8 companies that we review in depth, and then another 8 or 10 that we review a little bit in less detail. And we're going to crank up the number of reviews to get upwards of the top 15 to 20 companies reviewed on the detailed basis that we like to get to. We've also recently done, but it hasn't launched on the site, probably will within a couple of months, maybe less, we've started to try to kind of quantify this notion of clean calling cards. And I have a fairly analytic background, so I run all kinds of spreadsheets and numbers for the various cards. And we've gone through and we've kind of created a way to measure how clean a calling card is. So now we can say it's not just clean or dirty, but it's this clean or it's this dirty. And so we're going to be putting some new tabular data up on the site over the next little while. I think it's going to help people understand pricing a little bit better and how advertised price can be a very deceptive metric as a basis for choosing a card versus one card versus another.
Fantastic. How many calling card companies are there out there? I mean, I know that's not, you can't give me an exact figure, but roughly, I mean, there is a ton of competition in this market, is there not?
Yeah, there's many, many, and I couldn't even give you a good answer to how many companies there are. But I would point out that a lot of companies operate many websites. So you can find companies that sell essentially the same cards under different brand names.
I see.
And under different websites. So when you actually go out and you kind of reduce it all down and you take out all of this kind of duplication, there's a lot fewer companies than it looks like there are. But on the surface, it looks like there are, probably hundreds of them. But in reality, there's probably, when you think internationally and all the carriers in different countries, then it probably gets to be 100, but it's a lot less than it looks like at first because there's so much sort of selling and reselling of the same cards by different vendors.
How does aboutcallingcards.com go about deciding? I mean, you can't review them all, obviously. What is the process involved in you deciding a company is a company you need to review and feature on the site?
Good question. We don't have a super scientific method for that, but partly what we do is we have on the site, we do an annual ranking of calling cards based on how big the site is. So we use a site called Alexa, which measures the popularity of, every website on the planet pretty much. And we basically go through and we figure out what the Alexa ranking is for different sites. And what we try to do is focus on those top sites. And and inside those top sites, we have a tendency to focus on the companies that we think are better than the other companies, or the companies that are especially bad and sort of, shouldn't be at the top of the list, even though
right.
for some reason they are. And so we have, some reviews of companies that we think are grossly overrated based on their popularity. But otherwise, we try to focus on the companies that we think are already pretty strong.
Well, very good. John, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today. I Is there anything, one more thing you want to tell our listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, no, I appreciate the time. I would put in a final plug for Pingo on a voluntary basis here. We do feel pretty strongly about them. And as you can read on the website, they got our top review and have for some time. And I fully expect they'll continue to be our top pick for a while going forward.
We thank you very much for that, John, and we hope that we can continue to perform at a level that is worthy of your top placement.
Very good. Thanks very much for your time.
You have a wonderful day, John.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode of PingoCast. And remember, visit pingo.com for a great way to keep in touch with friends and family abroad. Also, if you enjoy PingoCast, please help us spread the word by linking to us on your websites, blogs, and social network pages. Pingo.